Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Glad to have you with us on this beautiful, sunny, and yet still kind of chilly Friday afternoon.
I love it. I love it. This is the kind of weather I want in the fall.
I like
bit,
it like about...
A little bit of a nip in the air, but bright, sunny.
I take about 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
I think I could be fine with that. That would be about perfect.
And about 45 days, we're like, whoa, it's hotter than a popcorn fart out there.
Yeah, it's going to get bad real quick. So at least some of our audience may actually be aware, the Tigers season is officially underway. Opening day was yesterday. They went to Chicago, played the White Sox,
and won.
They won. They won what ended up being a very low-scoring affair all the way around.
You could say that.
Thing is, I'm not necessarily convinced that a lot of the fan base realizes that the season's actually started. I think a lot of people just kind of assume, oh, well, that's next Friday. Like, they're not paying attention to this team until the actual home opener. And I feel like there's a lot of, just not a lot of excitement around this Tigers team this season. And I don't really blame anyone for thinking that way or feeling that way. But I also see a lot of, I've seen a few Tiger fans saying that this is a team that needs to and should contend for the AL Comedy Central this year. Not necessarily the wild card. They're not going to even sniff a wild card. But because this division is so trash, they should absolutely be able to be competitive and potentially win the division.
Yeah, but I mean, you still got the Guardians and you got the Twins doing what they do. Sox, don't worry about them. They're going to be garbage.
Chicago would probably be the worst team in the league if not for the fact that the Oakland Athletics still exist for now.
Yeah, pretty soon it'll be the Vegas Athletics.
And they'll probably be terrible there, too.
Absolutely. I hope so. I don't want any joy for that team at all.
Ever, no.
But, I mean, the Twins are still going to do their thing. Are they going to go all the way? No, neither are the Guardians. The Tigers have a chance.
They have a legitimate chance. Whoever wins the AL Comedy Central, quite frankly, is just going to be cannon fodder for whoever they face in the first round, if we're all really being honest with ourselves.
It's going to be the Astros are like, oh, who are we going to beat today?
Exactly. But I feel like a lot of the reason that no one's particularly excited about that or even necessarily buying that statement, I feel like it comes down to something that was kind of that we can kind of take away from yesterday, and that is you had the third worst offense in Major League Baseball last season, and you basically did nothing to address it in the offseason. Like, Scott Harris didn't do really anything to add bats to this lineup. I mean, you went out and got, what, Mark Canna? That's it? Like, that's literally all they did. They went out and added a guy who is a career 250 hitter and acted like that solved all the problems when you have a perfectly good JD Martinez sitting out there waiting for someone to pick him up.
I'd like to see him back.
I would have loved to have seen him back. And after you got rid of all of that money, all that the dead weight that basically was the Miguel Cabrera contract, you have all these deals that have finally, after years of just weighing down the payroll, like, you've gotten to a point where the team payroll for the Tigers right now is currently sitting at 22nd overall in the league. So you're 105 mil. League average is 163 mil. The highest spending team, the New York Mets, who are going to end up losing everything, 307 mil. Like, you're spending a third of what the top teams in the league are, and you're spending significantly below the league average. I think, especially with the pitching being as good as it is, like, say what you want about this team, they have managed to cobble together a really decent bullpen, and they have a really solid rotation. Like, I think Tarek Skubal is going to at least be top five in the voting for the Cy Young this year. I lock that
really?
In right now.
What? All right.
No, he is
You've only
that
had
good.
One Guinness today?
No, I'm like halfway into my first one. No. I mean, he's the ace of this squad. There's no questioning that at this point. We saw how well he did last year, and you saw how well he pitched six innings of shutout ball yesterday. Like, I really believe this guy will end up being one of the best pitchers in the league. And you've got a pretty solid rotation behind him. But the problem is the offense. And while, yes, pitching and defense win World Series, offense gets you to World Series. And again, we're extrapolating a lot from one game so far. Obviously, this team's not going to go 162-0 and win all their games by one run. But I am kind of concerned by the fact that already we're off to kind of a scuffling start offensively. I mean, Spencer Torkelson did have two hits yesterday. Give credit where credit is due. Andy Ibañez, who I know a lot of people were questioning, why is he starting at third? He did end up getting a hit on the day. Matt Vierling did get a hit, then didn't come through in the eighth inning when the bases were loaded. And I'm sorry, if that's how that's going to be, I don't want to see that man in that situation. Like, you need a real hitter in there somewhere. Like, that just has to happen, because that was just sad to watch. I mean, yeah, ugly win's always better than a pretty loss. I get that, but I need to see something, especially over this first 11-game stretch, because you are playing some garbage teams. Obviously, the White Sox right now. The New York Mets, who are also not going to be good. You play Pittsburgh, and you play the team that's going to be the worst in all of baseball, that's probably going to, like, challenge for the all-time futility record, the Oakland A's. Like, you have teams that are just absolute garbage to start the year. This is where you need to come out of this stretch like 8-3 or better if you want anyone to believe that you have a shot of competing in this division. And you need to turn the bats on against these teams for anyone to believe that you have a shot in this division. Like, if you can't put up multiple runs against teams like the White Sox, the Mets, and the A's, then we have no business even talking about being a contender, even for the worst division in baseball. And if that's going to be the case, it's going to be a long, long summer. Like, I need to see this team above 500 by the end of April. Like, that's just, for me, what I need to see happen to really buy in to any of the hype. And I need to see the offense turn it on here. Like, this isn't going to be an acceptable thing to just scuffle at the plate all year long and basically count on your bullpen to just pitch a shutout every night. That's not sustainable. That's not realistic. Scooble's starts aren't all going to be that pretty. Jason Foley's not going to come out there and shut guys down every night. That's just not going to happen. It's not a reasonable thing to expect. So at some point, and again, it's one game. I'm certainly not saying that this is just how it's going to be all year, but I am saying to you that if this is representative of what we're going to see out of the Tigers in 2024, I am concerned to say the least, and this is why it's so hard for people, I think, to get excited about this ball club, even though you should be really at least a contender in your division, even though your bullpen is really good, your rotation's really good. It's the fact that you sit back, and I know we're impatient a bit in this town, certainly when it comes to our young and up-and-coming clubs, the other one of which we'll talk about later on in the program.
Boo.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we have to do it, man. But when you know going in that your offense was like 28th in the league last year, and you made no real effort to solve that problem in free agency, or at least push this thing to somewhere close to like league average, the only signing you made on the offensive side of things was Mark Canna, which, again, not to keep bagging on him, but he's not, like, that's not the signing that's really moving the needle for anybody. I mean, this is a guy who last year, yeah, hit 262 last year, had a whole 11 bombs, was not his best year.
Well, I mean, I guess not his worst. I mean, the Tigers aren't a destination for free agents yet. They will be at some point, but right now, they're just not.
Well, there's being a destination, and there's, you know what? You do what you did. Remember the last time the Tigers were in this dire straits, where they were looking at breaking the all-time AL futility record.
It was a 2003. Oh, that's right.
And what did they do? They went out and they overpaid for Pudge Rodriguez. And he immediately restored credibility to this team. And guys look at that and say, hey, look, he wants to be here. That guy absolutely, like, if he thinks that this is a program on its way up, then, you know, maybe there's something
here. Maybe I should be there too.
Exactly. I want to play with that guy. And then that's how you start making moves like the Ordóñez and Polanco and really started building up the team to what it was in the mid to late odds. But it always starts with that. You throw stupid money at a big name to attract the rest of them at a more reasonable price. And I maintain that JD should have been that name that you threw the stupid money at. Because you have the stupid money to throw. You're $200 million shy of the team with the biggest payroll in Major League Baseball. You're $60 million below league average. There's no reason why you couldn't have made that kind of splash and made that signing to at least give some reason for the fans to have confidence in something.
Here's
this year.
Big difference between the Tigers of 03 and Tigers of now and that other team across the street, the red ones, ownership. Mr. I is a much different owner than Chris Illich.
We know very much that that's the case, and he's not as willing to cut loose with the purse strings as his dad
Mike
was.
Illich
for better
was,
or for worse. Sometimes that dig is in trouble. Hi, Prince Fielder.
Eventually. Oh, that's not Mr. I's fault. That's a GM. But it's...
No, that was... Illich. He pushed him to make that signing when V-Mart went down for the year.
But Mike Illich was such a competitor, and he was so... Because he was a self-made guy. He was like...
And
he's
a minor league baseball
money.
player, which helped.
And then, but Chris Illich is just, I mean, we can go make this the bridge between Tigers and that other team. But Chris Illich just isn't the one that wants to spend. I think he's trying to save money. I think he wants out. My speculation, he wants out of both teams. He wants to sell.
I don't know if he necessarily wants out of both teams because he's making a decent amount of money off of both teams and also off the backs of taxpayers and broken promises and things of that nature. But we're not doing that show again today, at least. But I think he just wants to sit back and put minimal money and effort into the product and basically reap the benefits.
Yep.
I do agree with you on there is absolutely that as a factor here. I can't disagree with that, unfortunately, as much as I'd like to. But it would just be nice to see some real effort put forth into improving glaring positions of need on this team. And until you do that, yeah, you're going to have a big crowd for opening day. It's basically amateur hour. It's like the biggest party in Detroit. I know. I'm going to be there. Not at the game necessarily, but I am going to be down there. But when you end up clearing it all out, though, after that, the initial, like, yeah, we're all down here to party, what are you going to be left with for the rest of the summer? You're going to have, like, maybe 5,000 people a night because no one in this town believes you're actually trying? Like, that's unfortunately, ultimately, what it's going to come down to if things don't start to really get addressed. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to get into the Red Wings coming up in a little bit. I have another Tigers question on the other side of the break, though. It is happy hour. Stick around. It is happy hour, and obviously, Tigers, the official opening day was yesterday. Home opener coming up next Friday. I'll be down in Detroit for that, of course. Adam will be, I don't know where Adam will be, quite honestly. As apparently certain
presumably,
folks in this
presumably rate, drunk.
you know, certain folks from this radio station will be broadcasting live from Comerica Park. Somehow we didn't get the invite on that. Don't know what that's about, Eddie.
Hey, but, Eddie. What's going on, bud?
Why is the other sports show on this station getting left out in the cold? Just literally. But no, we are coming up on that time of the year, and I have a feeling that when we do get to opening day, that someone who's not going to be getting the best reception from the home crowd is going to be one Javi Baez. If you watched yesterday's game, you heard he was getting booed quite severely from the Chicago crowd, which, you know, you kind of expected that to be the case. But I'm kind of wondering right now, is anyone in this town actually rooting for him to do well? I mean, you saw yesterday, he essentially manufactured the only run you got in that win. He got a single. He quickly was able to steal second, ended up making it home for the only run of the day, actually really manufacturing that run in the traditional baseball sense. But at this point, has he just worn out his welcome so much with the Tigers that there's just nothing that he's going to be able to do at this point short of, like, just going on a, like, 40 home run tear, you know, hitting 300, whatever, to get the fans back on his side? I mean, with the contract that he's got, I mean, they still owe him, like, $80 million over the next few years.
Wow.
Like, he's making some, you know, ridiculous money to basically be completely and utterly ineffective since he signed with the Tigers. He's making $25 million this year, and thereabouts for the next 3 years after that. You've got until the end of the 2027 season. All this for a guy that couldn't even hit 100 in spring training. And I know, granted, we can't take a whole lot out of spring training stats because there's reasons why guys don't necessarily just tear the cover off the ball. They're working on specific parts of their game and whatnot in situations that aren't really, you know, full-on competitive.
Right.
But you're talking to a guy that since he arrived in Detroit has hit .230 in total since he arrived here. And
I think Jim could have done that.
Honestly, we could probably put you out there at – we could put you out in the batter's box, and you'd probably hit better than Baez has.
Maybe, but I'm going to need a pitch runner.
We're going to need to set you up with a tee, I'm sure. But, but I just don't get the sense that at this point there is anything that this man's going to be able to do to redeem himself with the fan base that's actually a realistic possibility of happening. Like, I feel like Tigers fans have just so completely soured on him. I feel like no one's rooting for him. If anything, I feel like, and this is just the sense I get, you know, I know you can't take everything that you hear on sports radio or read in the comments on social media as gospel by any means, but even in my own interactions with other Tigers fans, I get the feeling, the very strong sense, that everyone's just kind of rooting for this guy to just be as awful can be, in the hopes that maybe it will get Chris Illich to buy out that contract and just get him out of town. Like, he's already basically completely irredeemable, and we just want the thing to bottom out so we can get rid. Kind of like with the Pistons. Like, where everyone's just rooting for that team to just be the worst ever, with the hopes that maybe that'll be what gets Troy Weaver and Monty Williams fired out of a cannon. Like, I honestly feel like that's where people are at with Javi Baez.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems that way. He was supposed to be this savior, I guess. It was, I don't know, getting a little too close to Easter for me to be using that term. But, I mean, point taken. I mean, the guy, they need to do something with this team, and he's not it. He's not going to be the Miguel Cabrera. He's not going to be the Justin Verlander.
You're lucky if he's going to be the Brandon Inge at this point.
Oh, no, don't say anything we can't take back. I liked Brandon Inge. As a person, I thought he was a good guy.
Well, yeah, I liked the guy well enough until the last two seasons where he just, like, completely stopped hitting. Like, it got kind of bad because, like, there was, and here I go, just ADHD theater apparently. Like, there was a while where there was always one guy on that roster that, like, everyone turned all of their anger and hate on, who just started just being terrible at his job. Like, it was Ryan Rayburn before him, a guy who never should have been a starting player in the lineup anyway. And then, like, once he got cut, all the anger focused on Inge, and he didn't really help things by, like, hitting 200 the last 2 years in Detroit. But to a lot of people, and I will say, not to sit here and toot my own horn, but here he goes anyway, I didn't like the signing when it happened. Because at the time, there were a lot of other shortstops, you know, middle infielders that had a much better track record that I wanted the Tigers to go after. And we'd seen how south things went, how sour it kind of went with him in Chicago and in New York. Remember that whole thing for that half season he was there where he was, like, sarcastically applauding, like, he got particularly offended that everyone was booing him and decided he was going to boo them back or whatever, did the whole thumbs down bit. Like, he was very much discontent there, and even though he ended up hitting .299 while he was there, his last couple seasons in Chicago did not go overly well, and I kind of, like, got the sense at the time, like, unless he's fully engaged with a team that is in contention, he just ain't there, and he's not going to produce unless he is fully into where he's at and fully engaged with that. And that just hasn't been the case here. And it's kind of settled into exactly what we've seen. All his worst tendencies have kind of come to fruition in Detroit. And I just am, at this point, convinced that this isn't going to end particularly well. Like, you're gonna have the fans just we kind of want them to be bad so we can be rid of them. It's unfortunate that it's come to that, but really, as the last big name that this team went out and got in free agency, he kind of now bears the brunt of that, and with the biggest contract on the team and the least production on the team, he's gonna have to kind of bear the brunt of that. Anyway, here's City and Color. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and it's about that time of the week for my favorite bit that we do on this show, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept, and I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
And holy, we brought in a ringer.
We may ruin some lives from time to time, but that's showbiz, baby. And we have a special guest in studio, good friend to the show, good friend to local music and, you know, alcoholics alike, Brother Stone.
Don't forget tainted women.
Oh, well, especially that.
Tainted women?
Yeah.
We're not going any further with that, but
he's gotten more than one date from a bowling alley bar.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I made a career out of it. That's why I'm still single at 55 years old.
That may be for the best in some respects.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's go ahead and dive right into this, shall we? Dear, oh God, not them, anybody but them, I've been seeing a man for about a year. For the most part, we get along fine. We spend a lot of time together, and he professes his love for me. His intentions are to be together forever, although there has not been a proposal. I think I could continue this relationship indefinitely. There's just one thing. I'm not physically attracted to him. He's presentable and well-groomed, but he can't compensate for the fact that he is homely. I am, to put it plainly, a beautiful woman. I have always dated in my league. I am trying hard not to be shallow, but this bothers me greatly.
And there you are, killing it.
Sometimes I'm just disgusted. I know we'll both age, but until then, he'll still be ugly. I do have feelings for him, so should I try harder to overlook his defects? Signed, Rachel Eckert.
No, I think... I don't know what she's wanting us to say. I mean, she doesn't want us to say anything. The people she's writing to, what does she want them to say? And... she doesn't find him attractive. I've heard of people who they're attractive and they want to be with somebody less attractive, so it makes them feel better about themselves. But she's like flat out.
This is like the exact opposite of that. It's like, no, like, this guy's not even in my league.
I'm with my boyfriend, and every time we walk out of the pet store, the alarm goes off, thinking we're trying to shoplift a dog.
someone has a really high opinion of herself.
Whenever we walk out in public, babies cry. And the villagers try to chase him back to the castle. But me, I'm gorgeous.
I'm beautiful. I would advise her to say that to him, so then maybe he'll see her real ugliness.
Yeah.
Outside of what she looks like.
Yeah. How's that conversation going to go? Hey, how do you like your appetizers? Hey, before the main course comes up, just want to let you know, you are homely. But she needs to be open and honest with him, too, because you know, let's say they get married and then all the newness of the relationship's gone. The fun pageantry of a wedding is gone. I now pronounce you woman and troll. She's going to look over at her husband of 5-10 years. Yeah. I've never been attracted to you. And he's going to be like, wait, what?
I mean, I get it, because there have been times I could have probably been in a really good relationship, but I just wasn't attracted to that person.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a game changer for me. But on the same note, I didn't play it out like, hey, we've got something here that could possibly happen, you know, and I care about you and what have you. And I mean, she's kind of leading them on if that's seriously the case.
Yeah.
It's kind of the thing. I feel like we've heard this before. Like I learned to love him. That sort of thing.
Right.
It's like you're trying to force it when you don't feel it. And that's the worst thing you can do. Cause you're not only going to end up, you're not going to be happy, but you're going to break in his heart when it finally, when the truth comes out that you don't find him physically attractive at all. Nope. Like, that's just...
Give him a chance to find somebody who actually finds him attractive. Maybe there's one woman out there, I love a cleft lip.
You never know. Like, there's someone for every body type, you know, face type, whatever. Like, there's always going to be somebody who thinks that you're the most attractive person on the face of the earth.
His unibrow is just so endearing.
I was just going to say, I find nothing more attractive than a man with a beautiful unibrow.
I'm just a sucker for a man who doesn't have a six-pack, but a full-on keg.
Yeah. Yes, I love your hair. People. Who does your ears? I mean...
Yeah, don't. No, my advice would absolutely be no. Don't try and force yourself to be okay with it because you're clearly not. Let him find someone who actually does see some value in him. Because that's clearly not you.
We're getting a letter from him. It's like, guys, chill out. I got a trophy piece over here.
Are you trying to kill this for me or what? Yeah,
don't mess this up for me.
Look, I know I look like I should be ringing a bell at Notre Dame.
Dragging my left leg behind me.
Sanctuary! But I mean, come on. I got this choice over here, and you guys are killing it for me.
She said she could continue on with that for the rest of her life.
Yeah, sounds like they're not engaged, and she wouldn't mind. Did the letter say she would like to get engaged or something like that, or is she just...
There has been no engagement.
Yeah, there has been no engagement. It's just his intentions are to be together forever, although there has not been a proposal.
Yeah.
What if he writes in and says, yeah, I'm with this woman, and I know I'm not a 10, but she's maybe a Columbiaville 5, maybe.
But she thinks
maybe
she's a 10.
Just really been overvaluing herself this whole time.
Right.
I apologize to Columbiaville.
I mean, if you looked at the guy you attracted.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I may not be the hottest. This is my pickup line from back in the day. I may not be the hottest guy, but I'm the only one talking to you.
Nice.
And now we're married. Hi, Dorothy. No. I'm kidding.
I better put Dorothy on the apology list, too.
She's permanently on there.
This is true. Like, I can't imagine carrying on with somebody that you just, like, I'm so not physically attracted to this person and actively calling them ugly. Like,
yeah.
If you're at the point where you're actually referring to your significant other as ugly, then it can't work. Like,
no.
You've already gone beyond the point of, well, but he's got such a good personality, I could stick this out. Like, that's a pretty nasty thing to say to someone you claim to love or say about somebody you claim to love.
I'll be willing to bet you he's rich.
Paying her bills.
He's got money.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. That's why she can stay in this relationship indefinitely.
I'm glad you guys
It's because he's loaded.
I'm glad you guys took the high road.
Well, we kind of have to now that we're on FM. Yeah. Trust me, some other things might have been said otherwise. But
because I mean, because any other time she'd probably be like, you know, I'm peacing out. I'm gonna find somebody more in my league. But you know, this guy,
So what happens if that person comes along? Does she just hop ship?
Honestly,
you know,
probably.
Right. Or try to steer both ships at the same time.
Yeah. Play the game. I got my cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that play out too. Either way, none of it's fair to this fellow who deserves to have someone
Sounds
that's
like
fully
deserves
like
an ugly
invested.
Kid.
Yeah, I feel bad for this guy, and I can only assume his big hairy mole that's on the side of his cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clearly what the issue is.
Yep.
Shall we dive into one more of these?
Let's.
This one's a little, we go from kind of relationship stuff to more on the financial side of things. Dear, does anybody still read these? My wife and I are middle class or maybe upper middle class. I make pretty good money. I pay all of our bills, mortgage, both cars, insurance, and healthcare bills. She's a social worker and only makes enough to cover her personal needs and spending money. We have a modest savings account, about $50,000, and a small retirement account, about $200,000. We also have some real estate holdings, which will fund our retirement when liquidated in 15 years. We are in our early 40s. Must be nice. Yeah, rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah.
She inherited about $60,000 from her grandfather. She asked me what I thought she should do with it. I told her she should do whatever she wants with it. But I told her my advice is come up with a plan. She should figure how much she would want to save. She mentioned putting some in our son's college fund and some travel. My advice was not to waste it and have a budget and stick to it. Without telling me, she put about $40,000 into an IRA and $10,000 into our child's college account. So about $50,000 of the $60,000 she put into accounts we can't get to for 20 or 30 years. Knowing her grandfather well, that's not how he would have wanted her to spend the money. He would have anticipated her traveling and spending on stuff that makes her happy, not locking it up for years. This all happened this calendar year. My question is there a way to get the money out of the IRA without paying a penalty, a financial mulligan? Now, thankfully, you come to the right place here,
like
sir.
We're all bankers here.
Yeah, because we are clearly people who give financial advice. Like, he's a financial planner when he's not doing radio.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to address here is the mixed signals from this guy. He goes from, you should have a plan for what you're going to do with this money,
and
figure out how much
you want
to save, and now he's mad that she had a plan and put the money away and did the responsible thing?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He already sounds like a controlling person. He sounds like a controlling person because he's like, I do that. She's a social worker, and she makes a small little pittance.
Yeah.
And her grandfather died, and this is what he would have wanted. He wasn't my grandpa. He wasn't my papa, but this is what he would have wanted.
He would have wanted you to be incredibly irresponsible with that money. I don't know why you're not doing it.
He would have wanted her. He would have wanted her to buy me a humidor.
He would have wanted her to be with Roy instead of this guy.
Yeah. This guy sounds like such a controlling dork.
But I think I agree with her idea because let it ride because you're young enough now. You're making all this money right now. Everything's fine. So ride it out. And then when, who knows what happens in 20 years, you lose a limb. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. How long are you really going to be able to work for?
Right.
Or want to work for that matter?
Yeah.
And suddenly you've got this income that you can get now without penalty, and you've made
money. I know
off
there's
of it.
IRAs and there's Roth IRAs. I know one of them is not taxable.
Right.
One's taxed, and then IRA is taxed. Roth IRAs are taxed, which is good because you're in a lower tax bracket right now than you would be in so many years. So it's. Yep.
Don't necessarily take our financial advice.
I thought about
doing
that with my 401k, doing a Roth 401k, because I'm in a lower tax bracket now. I don't know what I'm going to be at. Anyway,
right.
This isn't necessarily Financial Hour with Sean and Adam, and nor would you really want it to be.
First of all, Adam wants to do a Roth 401k. Well, definitely not doing
definitely
that.
Definitely don't do that. Here, take advice from two people who are on the verge of losing their house on a week-to-week basis.
Here's money you weren't planning on, I mean, unless you were planning on Pawpaw dying. unless you had something.
A whole other problem to deal with.
So you've got the she's got the money. She invested it, and I think she did very
the smart
responsible
thing.
Yeah.
And then put the rest of it, you know, away for the kids' college. Like
this is control. He wanted to do something. He wants to tell her to do what he wants to do with the money. It didn't work out, and he's mad. Because something tells me if she would have went and bought a car, I told her I have a plan, save for it, and then she bought a car. What do you think?
Yeah, he'd be writing in to complain, she's so irresponsible with her money. What is wrong with her? He'd be complaining either way. I think he just needs to exercise that control over what she does and basically question all of her life choices. Like, this, you said it in the letter. She doesn't come from money. She works a lesser job compared to you. She's scraped by and struggled more than likely for a good chunk of her life. So she's doing the smart, responsible thing, and you're sitting here being like, well, why didn't she just blow all the money on a cruise?
Right? So stupid.
He'll find the negative no matter what he does, what she does.
You know what she did? She invested in a divorce lawyer. Right. She's taking you for half your stuff.
Dude, that'd be priceless right there.
Be the smartest thing you could probably do.
Nice investment.
I hope you have a plan for that money. I do.
And it doesn't involve you.
This is my attorney, and we'll be speaking through him from here on out.
Gather your belongings and leave my building, please.
This is half of my domicile.
I'd say that's a darn good investment.
Can't find it hard to disagree.
Yeah.
I think we probably got time to squeeze one more of these in.
Oh, let's do a couple of them. We're on fire.
We really are. We're doing quite well with this. We're changing lives, really. Let's go over to the...
I think he believed that, too. It killed me.
I say lots of things on the air I don't believe. Trust me, I'm pretty good at wearing a straight face about it all. Let's do one more of these real quick.
Uh-huh.
Dear... Oh, God, it's them, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm. I'm a stepmom in a blended family. My husband has a 5-year-old son, Corey, from his first marriage, and together we have a 5-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. We used to have Corey on Sunday afternoons, but his mom took a new job when he started kindergarten and pushed for custody changes. Parenting 2 kids all week is exhausting, and now we have Corey Friday through Sunday every week, too. He has a lot of trouble every time he switches from his mom's house to ours and tells that his stepsister isn't following the rules, but it's because his mom is a helicopter parent. While our house is about independence building. He's clingy and needs help with everything, and the weekend is miserable for everyone. His aunt takes him after school 4 days a week, but not Fridays. This means we have to arrange once a week after school care for him, which is expensive and inconvenient. I'm exhausted by this and the full weekend of managing our 2 kids plus Corey that comes afterward, including driving him to activities like soccer games that his mom is happy to sign him up for and leave to us to deal with. True. I need Corey's aunt to take him on Fridays at the very least to make it fair, but she refuses because she blames me for her sister's divorce. When I asked my husband to talk to his ex and her sister about making the child care arrangement fairer, he said he'd do it, but then made excuses and never did. I know the divorce was unfriendly, but it's been 5 years and I'm tired of dealing with this. I can't get any support for any of this. How do I get my calm weekends back?
So she only has this kid...
Friday through Sunday.
Friday through Sunday, and there's soccer and all this...
Yeah.
I mean, I can see the frustration, but you know what? You hooked up with a guy who had a kid.
Package pack. Yep.
It's
a package deal, for sure.
That's...
My question is...
Yeah.
About this woman, did she just expect that her husband was going to just sign away the rights to this other kid and just never have him ever?
How many times do we see this letter coming across our desk inadvertently?
A lot.
Where, I remember...
Kind of the evil step monster thing. We're like, we've had letters where like, why is his kid from a previous marriage going to be involved in our wedding or even invited to it? Like
the one woman wanted the stepdaughter to be at the very edge of the wedding photo so it could be she could be cropped out.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Wow,
it amazes me how many like awful people like this exist that just want to cut someone's child out of their life because, well, that's not me. That was your old marriage. That's your old life. That's still your kid.
So apparently she was never married to her kid's biological father, considering there's only one.
She had these other kids that she has are with her current guy.
Him and his ex.
There's the 2 kids they have together, and then his kid with his ex.
That's what I'm wondering. How is her life? Oh no.
She doesn't have any kids.
He is the father of their 2 kids.
Yes, my bad.
All right, my apologies.
So, no. she had to have seen this coming at some point because, and then she's upset because the father isn't doing a whole lot to correct the situation. He doesn't want to correct the situation. He wants his kids.
Like to see his kid.
Yeah.
And I agree with her on some extent as far as the other parent going, hey, yeah, sure, you should do that. I had dealt with it with my ex and my son. He got in a little scuffle at school, and they wanted to put him in anger management classes. And I'm like, going, he got, you know, no, I don't see where he's not an angry child. He's, you know.
Right.
And his mom's like, absolutely, I totally agree. Because she lives in Saginaw, we're in Dryden, you know, so it's like, now I'm stuck dealing with this because she okayed it.
Yeah,
she
you're getting this kind of dropped in your lap.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll make that decision for you because I'm not the one who's going to have to deal with the consequences. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah, yep. There is that point. In the letter, she's it. Like the mother of the
child. Because
not
like the kid's so, like really, I guarantee you, he's not the one who's all gung-ho about wanting to play soccer and do all this other stuff. This is, you know, the mom wanting to, yes, you know, yeah. Thinking that. That she's going to decide that that's what he wants to do and live, you know, yep. Live vicariously through him.
Or get him off the video games and,
right, yeah. Whichever.
Physical thing. Yeah, but that part I get, yeah.
Base of the story is, yeah, it's a package deal. You knew what he had when you got into it.
Exactly.
Accept that, move on, or walk away.
Well, there's two kids involved with them. I would just say...
She going to abandon them if when these two split up?
How old is this old... How old is this Cody or whatever his name is?
5 years old.
He's five?
Oh, he's five, and she's complaining about the five-year-old being needy. He's five years old.
He is needy.
Five-year-old kids are needy.
Guess what's going to happen with your two youngest? They're going to be needy, too.
Their kids are apparently 5 and 3. Like, and let's not even question how the math works out on that.
Okay. But, yeah, I need some time with this
yeah,
one.
They've got one together the same age as the other one. Wonder what happened there.
This guy was like a jet.
And you wonder why his...
tripper in the maternity ward. He's got to go over here. You're doing fine. Breathe, honey. Go across the hall. You're doing fine, honey. Breathe.
Well, it brings
and
question.
Wonders why the ex's family hates her. Like, you're really kind of putting it out there exactly why they don't like you. It's really impressive.
A question. Was he with her and then cheated on her with this lady?
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. Because that's why the in-laws are like just like, we blame you for the bust up of their marriage anyway. So we're going to take it out on our nephew.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, that's the animosity she has for that kid because he cheated on her. Well, then if you brought him back after the cheat, then that's on you, sister.
Well, no.
No. I think he cheated on the ex
with her.
Yeah, with this current one.
Yeah.
So the whole family thinks she's a homewrecker, which she did. I'm guessing she is.
You were with somebody who she was probably the ex-wife was probably pregnant at the time. You were messing around with a married man with a pregnant wife, and now you're so worried about what's going on. You asked for this without even asking for it. You deserve this. Okay.
Well, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Yeah,
so my advice is, you know, you got to kind of suck it up and deal with it because you married a guy who had a kid, and that's kind of what comes with the deal.
Either way, you knew the situation.
Exactly. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and I know we've tried to avoid it. I know you've desperately wanted to avoid it.
No.
For most of the show today, but I'm sorry. We have to do it. Whether you like it or not, Adam, we have to talk hockey, okay? There's no getting around this. We have to talk about the Red Wings. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Obviously, I can't do the Hockey Town music today because our team's terrible, but...
Brother Stone, will you tell Sean that I'm not speaking to him right now?
I just don't know why you two can't just get along.
Like, this team has been shut out 4 times in the month of March.
But you still love them, right?
I do love them. I bleed red. That's how much I love the Red Wings. I bleed red.
You, everybody else you've ever known.
Yeah, pretty much. They got shut out by the bunch of jerks. We knew they were going to probably lose that game. We talked about this. I mean, so we figured that out, but this team has no identity. We thought it was Larkin. Well, he's back.
That's still not helping.
No. And Patrick Kane's out.
Which is helping even less. I mean...
And they're saying it's the big vid, COVID. So watch a lot of the members of the Red Wings just dropping down like flies.
Playoffs,
it's not happening, kids.
Well, I don't know. Washington also lost pretty bad last night, if memory serves.
Did they? I didn't check. I saw. I felt I went to bed, got a nap in between the first and second period because I knew it was
5-1. They lost to Toronto.
Toronto. Wow.
Toronto.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess that's. I mean, if you would say, oh yeah, they lost 5-1 to the Sharks. I'm like, what?
That would be hilarious.
They lost to the Sharks, but yet they Washington beat. It's just the way it is. I mean, with Detroit, they're not going to do well. I mean, they just aren't. There's something going on with that team.
At this point, it's a question of who wants it less between Washington and Detroit.
Washington wants it more. I think they really want to prove to the ownerships, like, you got rid of, was it Backstrom? You got rid of him? Really? I mean, Ovechkin is on a tear. He will beat Wayne Gretzky's record. And I will.
It's going to happen next year. I'm laying money on that right now.
I will call in. I will cancel anything I ever have to do. To make sure that I see this on television, but I think the Washington Capitals, they have hit fire right at the right time. Red Wings, they hit fire. There is no doubting this. The Wings hit fire early this year, but now they couldn't stop a beach ball. They can't score. Like, they shut out 4 times in the month of March. I'm sorry.
We were talking at one point. I think it was back in February now that this team could potentially not just make the playoffs as a wild card, but maybe even make a divisional playoff spot. We were like 7 points or whatever ahead of Tampa for that first wild card spot.
Yes, they were. And there's a lot of pundits like spitting chicklets were like, "This the Red Wings were the dark horse to look for." You look at those, look at this team, something's catching fire over there, and something fizzled out.
Like, it's almost like they've just quit. Like, I...
Kind of, yeah.
And I'm sorry, and I know that there's going to be certainly a portion of the fan base that is going to disagree with me on this, because, you know, we can't ever have consequences for anything. Also, you know, nothing that Steve Yzerman has ever done has been wrong ever. But this falls at some point, quite frankly, on Coach Grew. I'm sorry, it just does. Tell me he doesn't look like Grew from Despicable Me. He's not even the fester thing.
Oh, he does.
Like, you tell, like, that's, like, we've been, quite frankly, comparing him to the wrong pop culture figure for too long here.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It falls on Lalonde. Like, the team has quit on Derek Lalonde. They just have. Like, you watch the way they don't show up for a full 60 minutes. Like, they won't even try in the first period, or they won't try in the third. Like, we haven't seen a consistent 60 minutes of hockey from this team since February.
I don't think they've quit on him. I just don't think they ever played for him. I just don't think he's a guy that gets the team motivated.
He's not.
You look at some coaches that we laugh about. We talk about Tortorella. We talk about a lot of these guys who are just like a Patrick Waugh that will call their players out. Newsy.
Well, how's that working out for Patrick Waugh?
Well, okay, yeah. Point taken. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
But, I mean, Torts at least has a ring to show for his antics.
Yes, he does. 20 years ago. A little tarnish on that. You might want to get it cleaned up.
I'm just saying, look where Philly is right now, and look where we are. Playoff spot right now.
Point taken. Because
we're free falling.
Because Philly has been hot garbage for a lot of years. Until they got
like they were
Tortorella
very much
in there.
A joke until Torts came around.
But I'm not saying that the team quit on him. I just don't. I think it's too laissez-faire in the Wings dressing room. I think it's just like, oh well, try your best, guys. All right, good. There'll be cookies ready for you when you get back. No, I mean you got to kick the trash can a little bit.
It just doesn't make sense to me that this team was on the track that it was on.
Yes.
Late February. And then it completely, you can't tell me it's all just because Dylan Larkin was injured. Because, A, he's since come back and the team has continued to be terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not all about one guy that makes that entire offense go. Like, it hasn't been this season. That's not the way this team's played. You've gotten a lot of contribution from guys who aren't Dylan Larkin. Like, you've had a lot of Daniel Sprong, who's been absent lately because he's been a healthy scratch more often than not. Like, also,
yeah. He's back in the lineup now because Patrick Kane was a scratch. Why? I mean, this is a rhetorical question because nobody knows except for Newsy. Why was he scratched?
Sprong was one of the big revelations for this team when this season started. He was doing really good. Like, he was kind of one of the unsung heroes of this squad for much of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Did he just fall out of favor with Lalonde?
I mean, as we've talked about, I don't think anybody falls out of favor with Lalonde. I don't know what's going on because, I mean, here you got Christian Fisher, which I realize everybody likes, and he does make some good plays in his own zone. But you look at it, he's like, oh, he's got like, what, 2-3 goals, maybe a couple assists. Sprong has done every single thing you've asked of him, and you scratch him? Really?
It doesn't make sense, man.
It doesn't make sense. I think Newsy is probably not the guy.
He's definitely not the guy.
Which leads me to believe that a certain coach in the KHL... Let me finish. There's a certain KHL coach
who has been really... You really want to hire Fedorov?
You spoiled it for me.
I think everyone kind of knew where you were going with that. Guy who has won the last two KHL titles.
A lot of people... want to bring him in, but not as a coach, but as an assistant GM. But I don't know.
What is his qualifications as far as, you know, being like front office exactly? Like, that team basically gets handed all the good players because they're Putin's team, and that's just kind of how that works.
Oh yeah, there is that.
Like that, they're the team that he wants to win, and they occasionally might throw a bone to another team every so often.
Mr. President, there is a Sergei Fedorov online wants to know what players you want. Huh? I have no idea. This isn't the KHL. Hang up on him. I don't understand. Sorry. We need Luthy in here. He does a good Russian accent. But, I mean, okay, if it's not Fedorov, and that's fine. I don't want to bring in somebody behind
the bench. Igor Larionov.
There you go. You just solved everything right there. Igor Larionov, if the players can understand what he's talking about, because this team is playing checkers, he's playing chess. If they could all get on the same wavelength, if Igor Larionov could dumb down things for this team, I think they win the Stanley Cup.
I don't necessarily think it needs to be dumbed down, per se.
Larionov is a smart, smart man. There's nobody in that locker room that would play chess against him.
Nope. You're absolutely...
And we heard that from McCarty himself.
No, yeah. And who am I to question Darren McCarty, quite frankly?
Right. He'll punch you in the face. No.
He probably would. But it kind of... I know a lot of people are still like, no, we need to give Newsy another chance here. I made the argument that he should have been fired somewhere in the in the midst of the losing skid. How many teams this year that are in a playoff spot right now changed coaches and it worked out really well for them? I mean, a huge amount.
You got Edmonton and LA.
Yeah, Edmonton canned Jay Woodcroft. Chris Knobloch came in and completely turned things around. The Kings, they fired Tom McClellan out of a cannon, and Jim Hiller so far has done quite well with that team.
Quite well.
Like, you've had, in relatively recent history, the Islanders aren't a great example now, but they had fired Lane Lambert and brought in Patrick Waugh. That, in that case, it didn't seem to work quite as well. But you have...
I don't know. I mean, point of order. Patrick Waugh, since he came in, still has them around the bubble, at least at one point, for a wild card spot. Lane Lambert didn't.
That is true. And then Jersey, too. Obviously, Lindy Ruff got sacked. They brought in... Now, they did it wrong in that they promoted Travis Green, who has been terrible as a head coach wherever that's been tried.
Travis Green was a great player, but
he's not a good coach.
Lindy Ruff needs to come to Detroit.
You know, I could be talked into that, but you know who I really want, though. We've talked about it, and you're very
double
much
G.
on the boat with me. Gerard Gallant.
Double G.
Bring Gerard Gallant home. Bring him back to Detroit. I'm just saying, he's had success.
Preach on. Come on.
I don't know if he just wears out his welcome wherever he goes. He got Vegas to a Stanley Cup in their first year of existence. Got the expansion team into the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes.
He's had success there. He had success in Florida. He's done well wherever he's been.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean.
And I would love to have him. He's won a Jack Adams Trophy. Florida, okay, yeah, they at least made the playoffs under him there. Even the Rangers, a team that has that was not doing well at all until he came around. He got them quite deep into the playoffs his first year there, as you may remember. I want him in Detroit badly. Like he's the top of my list as for the guy I think should be the next coach of your Detroit Red Wings.
No,
I'm hopeful that
I hate it when I have to say this.
That I'm right,
Sean. You're right.
I know it kills you inside. It does. I know. Trust me. None of us are used to hearing that. I'm not used to being right, but. I mean, I'm always right. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, just to give Newsy a little stay of execution, I mean, you are looking at a thing where, with the exception of Alex Lyon, you really don't have a goaltending core. I mean, you have a couple guys who are
you don't have a goaltender, yeah.
With the exception of Mo Sider, and you don't have really much a blue line.
No, you. Well,
you have.
But there are things that could have been done even on that. Like, why is Jeff Petrie playing at all? Like, I know Justin Hall's just hanging out in the lounge, not doing anything. But why is Jeff Petrie? I mean, A, still on this team, and B, why is he in the lineup every night? Why wasn't Evanson called up far before this and put in the lineup in his place? Like, when. Like, for me, like, there's no reason that should be a thing that continues to exist when he's proven that he quite frankly wouldn't be in the lineup for pretty much any other team in the National Hockey League. And I want more than anything, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He needs to go. He absolutely needs to go. The second that Jake Walman comes back, I want Petrie out of the lineup. I want Petrie out of this town.
You saw there was a GIF.
Why does Austin Czarnik keep getting playing time and Daniel Sprong doesn't?
Why? Yeah, that's a great
question.
Why
is Austin Czarnik on this roster right now?
All right, let's do the first one first.
Okay.
Jeff Petrie in there. There is a GIF out there that is just hilarious and infuriating at the same time. Now, there's people who know hockey where Petrie's on a 2-on-1 against the bunch of jerks.
Yep.
And he's signaling to a defenseman who's not behind him. He's like, okay, I got this guy. You take this guy. There's nobody behind him. Petrie has no idea what's going on the ice.
He needs to be gone, and he needs to be gone. I would have already cut him by now. Like, I know that there's ramifications with the salary cap. Don't care. Put him up there with Hall.
I mean, you got Justin Hall.
You can literally call any random defenseman up from Grand Rapids at this point. They couldn't do worse
I'd rather see what Hall has. I mean, we're paying him enough.
For like another 3 years.
Yeah, let's see what Hall can do. What can Hall do for you? And see what happens there. But Petrie, oh, by the way, he's Dan Petrie's kid.
I had no idea.
No, really?
No one has ever mentioned that.
Really? He's a bust. He's a bust, and I know that they're going to give him like the big hero welcome when he goes back to the Montreal Canadiens, and the Montreal Canadiens will be like,
"Ha ha! It's your problem now, Detroit. We really should just apologize to French
Canadiens. Garbage.
Should apologize to Montreal and really French Canadians in general for those terrible accents just now.
Apologize to French. Oh, for the accents. Okay, yeah.
That was more Russian to me.
Yeah."
No, that's, you know, at this point, Adam's dialect coach, we really need to work on that because
they
all sound like.
Yeah, my dialect coach, his name is Butch, and I said, Butch, I need to sound like a southern French woman. Oh, I got that for you. Au revoir. How do you want to do this?
Every voice turns into a Kentucky Colonel, no matter what.
Don't you be talking bad about Beauregard now. You haven't talked to Beauregard in a while. Now all of a sudden you're bringing his devil that name out.
Oh, because that's every voice. This turned into ADHD theater so quickly, I didn't even notice. And we didn't even get to talk about why Austin Zarnik is on this roster still.
Because nobody knows.
There's plenty of...
Let's waste some radio going, I have no... He's got naked pictures of Iserman, apparently.
That's the only thing I can figure. We have to hit a break, though. Should add him to the apology list, too. We'll come back. We'll attempt to close this thing out. It is happy hour. Stick around. Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to a full hour of local original
music. Yeah, you know it because Solid State Radio was built on it. We built this city on rock local and roll.
On local music.
Local music. The Burton City Beat. Burton Beat. They're going to be in here hanging out with me. It's going to be the collaboration that you didn't even know you wanted.
And we'll probably find out that you didn't really need. Probably should just put them and Mark Morin on the apology list now. Old friend ours is coming to crash this thing tonight.
Looking forward to hanging out with him.
It'll be a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's coming up immediately following this fine train wreck of a radio show. We do have a little bit of business we got to take care of before we get there, though. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Prince Fielder, Eddie Fury, Javi Baez, Brandon Inge, Columbiaville, Dorothy, Quasimodo, Sergey Fedorov, Vladimir Putin, Montreal fans, French Canadians, and Mark Morin. We're sorry! Well, kind of sorry. As sorry as we get, anyway. And we're a couple sorry suckers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, stick around. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on Sessions. All being well, talk to you Monday afternoon at 3. See ya!